Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 654. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is eating some food downstairs as his automatic feeder just went off a few minutes ago. I'm sure he'll be back up here ready to chime in at any point. Probably in about 15 minutes or so. If I had to put a pin in. If I had to put a guesstimation. Well, it'll probably be pretty good. This is a good-sized meal. This isn't just the lunch. It's the 2:30 meal. It's the bigger meal. So he'll probably be pretty tuckered out after that for at least probably the rest of the show. So I don't know that he's going to contribute a whole lot tonight. We'll see what happens. Crazy world we live in. Crazy world. I've got good news, but, I just got to say, coming out of the gate is, I hope we don't completely abandon Ukraine. Although, I knew Trump would push for that, as clearly he has done, made it very abundantly clear that he wants to go balls deep on Putin and do whatever Vladdy there wants and just go balls deep. Balls deep, throat in that cock, just putting it way back there, that ex-KGB cock. It's probably not that hard to do, though, because he's a short guy. I imagine he probably doesn't, short guys can have large cocks, too, but I'm going to venture to guess old Pooty Poots probably got a small dick, probably a micropenis, if I had to guess. With as much of a complex as he seems to have, I'm going to venture to guess he has a very small micropenis. So, maybe deep throating that's not too bad. Throat. You don't have to be a throat goat to be able fully engulf that micropenis. Shitty times. But hey, looks like Europe is, still in the corner of, democracy for the moment, or at least most of Europe. Russia is part of Europe, and, there's like Hungary and Turkey where there's more of like a dictatorship going on. And so, I would say overall Europe, is pretty pro-democracy still. So, yeah, that's all I really wanted to say about, the shit show that happened with the Zelensky meeting at the White House. I was not surprised at all. That it happened. This is Trump. I'm not surprised at all. But hey, I've got some good news. We don't need to go down that hole. On the plus side, the good news of the day is I have officially scheduled for myself and my friend from work, John Boy. Fox is already up here giving in some words of encouragement. I guess he's a little excited too. He's probably going to dread this week. But John Boy and I are going to Germany. I scheduled my vacation for that week at work already at the beginning of this week. And I haven't finished up with the passport stuff because I still need, still having issues with the photo. I guess I'm going to have to go back to fucking Walgreens and get the photo retaken there. See what happens. But passport's the only little hiccup right now. But I got 7 months, basically, to take care of that. Right at about 7 months. Because it's like the last 2 days of September and it's basically the first week of October. And it's March 1st as I'm recording this. So basically 7 months. So anyway... I went ahead and booked the trip today. I booked the trip because I didn't want to fuck around, with booking a room. Things are sketchy right now. A lot can happen. the way things are going in the country. Hell, I could end up losing my job at any point over, you know, the looming trade war. There's, it's not great time to fly a plane, there's a lot of accidents. I feel like the odds are still good that we'd be able to make it, though. Most of the flights we're going to be doing inside the states are going to be during daylight hours. So a little bit harder to fly into another plane. We are flying on Air Canada. So, I've never flown Air Canada. I feel safer with Canada. Go Canada. Oh, Canada. Holy shit. I guess before I go into Germany, I forgot. We did go to, me and three other guys from work did go to the Blues game last week as, that seems like so long ago now. We had a good time. We went to the Twin Peaks. It is basically Hooters, but different clothes. Food was decent. Had some good banter with the waitress. We went to the game, and I forgot where I was going to go. They were playing the Winnipeg Jets, which the Blues are fucking kicking ass right now. It looks like there's a good chance that they could make the playoffs. They're right on that line of in or out. They're right on that line. If the playoffs started today, they wouldn't make it, but they're only like 3 points back or something like that of a playoff spot. So, they got a game tonight. By the time I put this out, they could be like within a point of a playoff spot. Who knows? depends on, even if they win, though, the Canucks got to lose and the Calgary's got to lose. There's some shit's got to happen, but they are looking hot. And when we went to the game, they did lose, but it went to a shootout. They still got a point for getting a loss in overtime. And Winnipeg is the best team in the NHL right now. And so I was pretty excited. We had a great time at the game regardless, even though I was being called gay about every 5 minutes. what I was going to get to with Canada, cause we're going to be flying on Air Canada, that, they had, since we were playing the Winnipeg Jets, the Blues, when I say we, as I consider myself a part of the team, I am a fan. So anyway, they did the Canadian national anthem, and they had the big red Canadian maple leaf on the Jumbotron. They had like all kinds of red lights. It looked really cool. It looked really cool. And of course, this is right after Team Canada beat USA the first game back for the Blues. And which should be noted, Jordan Binnington, our number one goalie. And number one for wins as a St. Louis Blue. He's got the most wins as a Blue, as far as goalie's concerned. He's the man. Big game Binnington. Binner. And Colton Parayko played on Team Canada and got the big dub. And I think they're riding some of that right now, the excitement from that big game, and maybe a little bit of that magic back from 2019 that they also won on both the Boston's home ice, which they did, Team Canada won on. The point I was trying to get to is when they did the Canadian national anthem at the Enterprise Center here in St. Louis, there were some boos. I would say not as many boos as the American national anthem has been getting up in Canada, but there were some boos. I cheered. I was like, fuck yeah, Canada. Canada. I was excited. Canada. I was really rooting for Benner and Parayko, and so them getting the win, just seeing that Toronto, not Toronto, but they weren't playing Toronto, but the Maple Leaf, the Canadian Maple Leaf, just, all its glory, just fantastic. I did cheer for the American National Anthem, too, though. I am American at the end of the day, even if I live in, unfortunately, a fascist country now. But I am an American. I got to represent somewhat, Anyway. So I booked the trip earlier on Orbitz. I think I got a fucking great, like, you know, we could have gone cheaper on the hotel room, but it would have been further outside of where we really want to be, like outside of Munich city central, which we would have had to take in like a train everywhere. And that's going to add up, you know. We're leaving on a Saturday, coming back the following Saturday. So we're going to stay there like 6 nights. You know, after you subtract all the time at the airports, it's like we're staying over like 6 nights. You got 6 days there where you're traveling back and forth in those trains. Like, that I find is worth paying the extra money for a room like in the city center where you're not going to have to like take fucking mass transportation everywhere. You're not going to have to jump on a taxi and whatnot. I plan on walking everywhere. Or at least most places. I imagine we'll do a few day tours. As far as my plan goes for getting there, like, we're staying in Hotel Daniel, which is right next to the Marienplatz. There's a fountain, which I don't know the name of the fountain, but it's like right a couple blocks away from this big fountain that leads up to the Marienplatz, which is the big shopping area there in Munich. And it's just fucking, I mean, it's like very close to the grounds of the Oktoberfest grounds, which I could have found like cheaper rooms, but I mean, this location, I was afraid, I really wanted to get it now because I was afraid to wait too long because Oktoberfest, again, it is the biggest party in the fucking world. Oktoberfest in Munich. It is, and I plan on, of course, I am definitely going to be getting, I'm getting the Lederhosen. I'm not going to go too crazy with the Lederhosen. I'm going to get, you know, I'm not going to spend $1,000 on some leather shorts, but I might spend like $100-$200 on some fucking leather shorts. I'm not going on Amazon and buying some cheap fucking shit. You know, I want to dress to impress. But I, you know, I'm pretty excited about the location. It is real close to everywhere we want to be, really. And I've been watching all these videos on Oktoberfest and Munich and whatnot. I don't want to book a bunch of like day tours, though I imagine we'll probably go on a couple. I know, like, the first day, what I had figured was, okay, first day we get there, drop our shit off at the hotel, our carry-ons and whatnot. We'll get there too early to be able to, like, check in to the hotel, but we can be able to drop our stuff off and then check in later. But first order of business, as soon as I get there, that's when I want to go to a store to buy some real fucking Lederhosen. Lederhosen, ja, sehr gut. Give me some very nice Lederhosen, yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm excited for rocking some fucking Lederhosen, man. Some like real deal Holyfield Lederhosen. And that's like the first order of business. John has said he isn't gonna rock the Lederhosen, which I'm like, what? I feel like maybe once we're there and he sees like every fucking buddy in the world is there and wearing Lederhosen, that he might join in. But I am fucking rocking some Lederhosen. And then I figure the first night, okay, we do that, get checked into after we get the clothes, maybe just walk around a little bit, adventure around, because I don't think we can check in until probably, I think it might even be as late as like 2 p.m. So we might have to like just kill some time, maybe go to English Garten or just, you know, venture around the city a little bit, get our bearings straight. Then I figured that night we'd probably do like a food and beer tour just to get a feel for the city. It's not my first rodeo. So I remember a little bit of the city. I'll have some kind of remembrance, but, I figure we'll do like a food and beer tour, just get a little taste of Munich the first night, then day two. That's when that is when we go to Oktoberfest. We go there right at the beginning. I've looked, I mean, you can book like tables in Oktoberfest. I really feel like that's unnecessary for just two people. Like, definitely if I was there by myself again, well, one, I don't know that I would go to Oktoberfest by myself. It seems a little dangerous. I don't like getting drunk by myself. Though I have drank or like and done like tour groups and stuff and like had a couple of drinks, but I never gotten like trashed overseas. But since I have a, you know, partner in crime, I'm going to be a little bit more open to getting trashed. So I figure we go there at the beginning of the day. It opens like 10 or 11. Like, we won't be there at opening day. It'll be like the last full week of Oktoberfest. It'll end like right after we leave. And so, you know, I figure we'd hit there and, we'll venture around the tents. I don't know how much beer I can drink in a day. Probably not a lot, but I imagine there, like, I'm nervous. Like, I'm thinking we're probably not going to do more than one day at Oktoberfest. Like, the rest of the time we'll probably be doing other things. Going on some tours, maybe hit up Austria, Salzburg, or Vienna or something. Vienna might be too far. I'm not sure how far Vienna is from Munich. But the Salzburg tour was pretty cool. That's a pretty cool city. But I mean, just go around to things. I'm not really sure what all things he'd want to see. I don't think he really gives a shit much about like World War II and whatnot. So, there's so much shit we can do. But again, like that big plan though is just the first day, just get the shit laid out, get into the hotel. Get that fucking Lederhosen, yeah, so gut. And then we'll maybe hit up a couple of tour spots and whatnot, shops. I imagine he'll probably want to get some gifts for his children at some point. Again, I don't know what day. I want to see how, I figure we'll take it and see what happens with Oktoberfest. I mean, if we both don't end up like sick drunk, or either one of us end up being sick drunk and feeling like, you know what, I could do another day or two of that, then, you know, maybe we'll go back to Oktoberfest on multiple days. Because, I mean, it sounds crazy. I'm fucking excited to go to Oktoberfest. I feel like my body, as a 43-year-old man, I don't know if my body can handle it, though. And, like, more than one day. Like, if I was still in my 20s, I'd be like, dude, we're doing this all fucking week, man. Fuck getting a hotel room. I'm staying at Oktoberfest. that would definitely be... Yeah, it would have been a different story. Me in my 20s in Oktoberfest, me in my 40s in Oktoberfest. But again, you know, I don't know. Maybe we'll have so much fun. We like, and then maybe, because if I figure we do it on the second day we're there, and then we can go and do it like maybe two night, you know, get like at least a day in between where we're not going to fucking Oktoberfest. Get a little recovery before we get back on the wagon. You know, I figure at the most maybe 2 days at Oktoberfest, but then I don't know. Maybe we're just going to have such an amazing time. We're going to be like, we're going here every fucking night. Who gives a shit about anything else? It really what dictates what we do on the trip is what happens that first attempt at going to Oktoberfest. But again, I feel like we're going to have a pretty awesome time fucking Oktoberfest. There's what, like 10 big tents to like go into. I want to like go to at least a couple different tents. And Hofbräuhaus, they say is like the craziest tent, which I figure the night before when we do a food beer tour, it's got to have at least at the end, we'll end at the, Hofbräuhaus Das Original, the original Hofbräuhaus location, which is where I had the craziest night overseas. I'm like trying to relive my craziest night, possibly alive, And can lightning strike twice? Hopefully it goes better. Hopefully it goes better and none of us end up in jail or dead. You know, there's I feel highly unlikely. It seems highly unlikely either one of us is going to die. Odds are very low of that. I feel like the if we can survive the plane trip, that's the big kicker. The prison, I feel it's unlikely. I'm also thinking, like, I probably don't want to go to jail in Germany. But there's, I mean, Oktoberfest is nuts. Like, there's, I mean, it's such a big area there in Munich. And there's, like, a big hill where all the drunk people go to, like, puke. Like, there's one big hill. And, like, you don't want to go to that hill unless you feel like you got a fucking, you're sick drunk and you're going to puke. You go to that hill. I mean, John and I are going to have to, like, we're going to have to really think about what we, you know, we're going to be, because from what I understand, phone service in the area, the Wiesen, they call it Wiesen something, I don't remember what the area there is considered for Oktoberfest, but we're going to have to pick a location, because apparently phone service sucks, and we'll have to say, we'll meet up back here. If you get lost, we'll get here. I'll just have to make sure, too, like, he can at least find his way back to the hotel. I mean, I know I've traveled alone by myself many times now to Europe. I feel pretty confident whatever happens, I can get back to the hotel room. One way or another, I'll find my fucking way back. And thankfully, I got the room at a place I already, like, next to that fountain, which I remember that area. I walked through that area, like, every fucking day when I was there last time. I remember that fountain very well in that Marienplatz area. That when I was had the crazy night there at Hofbräuhaus, we walked through that area with Alex from Canada. That she was living in Baltimore. And I think I was in the friend zone, but maybe I misjudged it. I really had a thing for her, and I should have canceled the day trip I had planned for the next day, so I could hang out with her the next day. It was a mega fail on my part, mega fail. I just kicked myself. I should have at least gotten her contact info. She was just really, really attractive for one thing, and just a really cool person. And Nurse Alex, what a shame. Seems unlikely I would run into her. But you know what? When I was there the first time, like, which I guess I could go back through the story. I was, like, not going to get into the story. But, okay, this is in 2018. So this is several years back now. So my memory is a little bit different, I'm sure, than you'd have to probably just go back to the episode of me just getting back from Germany to get the real story. But at least a little bit closer to the truth. From what I recall, I had taken a day tour to Dachau, the concentration camp, and, you know, I didn't really want to talk a whole lot. I know a lot about the history of the Holocaust, and it's, you know, it's a somber thing. I don't want to be one of those assholes that's taking selfies next to the fucking ovens and whatnot. But, I mean, I took a picture of the oven, just didn't take any, didn't, like, go, woo, yeah, ovens. Anyway, of course, we had taken a train to the city of Dachau from Munich. That's where our tour group met up there. And I had already planned for a food and beer tour later on because I was like, you know what, I need to, like, I need to get my head straight back after that, after seeing, you know, the worst fucking crimes in history. I figured I'd need a spirit cleanser, if you will. And so I took the train ride to Dachau, and I met up with the tour group and saw one of the most attractive women I had ever seen. And I was like, holy shit, she is smoking hot. But I'm like, I am taking a guided tour of fucking Dachau concentration camp where they murdered I don't know how many thousands of Jews and just people in general. They murdered more than just Jews. But I mean, it was a fair amount of Dachau. It wasn't a all-out extermination camp like Auschwitz. Well, Auschwitz wasn't, there was Auschwitz, Birkenau, and like they had like the satellite camps, like Treblinka. Treblinka, I believe, was just 100% extermination camp. Dachau was more of like the PR thing. Like they would use it as a, like, this is a, they would show pictures when they showed concentration camps, what was going on. Oh, this is what's going on over here in Dachau. But it is also where I believe they had the first gas chamber set up and the crematorium for that. So they did the test run for the extermination camps at Dachau. Anyway, yeah, it's a fucked up thing. It's not a time to be like hitting on women. And I would hope that if I would have hit on her when we were in the train or at, especially at Dachau, I'd be like, you know what? This really isn't the time, asshole. I feel like it's a very always sunny in Philadelphia thing to do. It's like if Glenn were to take a trip to Dachau, he would have hit on Alex. Anyway, Dennis, Glenn Howerton is who plays him. Dennis. I would imagine Glenn Howard in real life probably wouldn't do that. His character Dennis from Always and Sunny would have done that. Anywho, again, yeah, I was just like, oh, I wanted to like just talk to her, at least talk to her, and then just, you know, break the ice. But I'm like, we're walking through this place and like, oh, is it hot in here or is it just the oven? Huh? Huh? Or is it you? That's just, okay. All right. You know, we should probably just hit the showers, huh? not interested. I guess that would have made for a great story, though, if I would have gotten smacked in Dachau. That would have made for a totally different story, and it would have been a lot shorter of a day, which would have made the night a lot more sucky, because, like, after, I didn't talk to her at all at Dachau. The whole trip, I didn't say shit to anybody. I just took it in. Although I did want to smack a couple people because they clearly knew nothing about the Holocaust. And I was just like, but, you know, they were learning. They were people, I think, in like their 30s. And I was like, I kind of want to slap the shit out of you. You know nothing about the fucking Holocaust. No, I didn't do that. I didn't slap anybody. And I didn't hit on anybody. There was no slapping or trying to get sex. There was none of that. But yeah, I had that tour lined up later on the night. And, you know, obviously I know her name. So you know where this story goes. But the second tour, I figured, you know, like it would be a lot more upbeat and I'd get to chit chat and feel more open. But I remember thinking like, man, it would be super cool if Dachau Girl was on that food and beer tour. I mean, that would be fucking amazing. And I get to the train station where we're meeting up for the food and beer tour. And I don't remember the name of the tour guide's name, but he was pretty cool. I'd have to go back and listen. I really should probably go back and listen to me talking about going to Germany for the first time. We met up there, and then immediately upon arriving, like he gave us all beers. And so I was like, this is a totally different tour. We're standing around at the train station drinking beer. Like, we are starting this off right. And then lo and behold, after I was there for a little while, who comes walking up? The Dachau Girl herself. And I come to find out shortly after, and I was just like, holy shit, that what are the fucking odds? Because it wasn't even like, okay, you know, this is right at the end of Oktoberfest. I think Oktoberfest actually ended a day or two before that. But I was like, there's literally like probably at least a million tourists right now in Munich. I didn't schedule the tours with the same tour group, like the same company that did the tours. It's totally different companies that I that I scheduled them with. And I'm like, what are the fucking odds that these two people from, well, she at the time lived in America. She's from Canada. Just the odds that two of the same people that would be on a Dachau trip would also schedule a food and beer tour for later. And it just happened to be on the same food and beer tour, because it wasn't the only food and beer tour in the fucking city. But as odds would have it, and you know, maybe I fucked up. I'm sure I did fuck up. I should have at least gotten fucking her contact info and then, you know, traveled to Canada immediately afterwards. Well, I guess Baltimore. but a lot cheaper trip. Especially if I would have had a place to crash. Anyway, so yeah, I ended up, long story short, I found out her name was Alex, that she was originally from Canada, Montreal, if I remember correctly, and that she was living in Baltimore as a, and working as a nurse. And don't know what type of nurse. Anyway, the only picture I have with her, like, kind of in it is, like, the back of her head, just her black hair. She had really long black hair. And, yeah, but when we went to the, I didn't talk to her immediately, but then when we got to Augustiner Keller, which Augustiner, the best beer that I've had in Munich. Can't wait to have more Augustiner. Fuck yes. Oh, that makes me excited. Just, oh, Augustiner. Ja, das ist ja gut. Anyway. Augustiner, fucking A. But yeah, I started when I sat next to her, and then I was like, hey, believe we are both on the dock. And I was here earlier. I just want to state I'm not stalking you. I promise. And she's like, well, actually, I'd be stalking you because, like, I showed up after you. And I was like, oh, shit, she was paying attention. She knew I existed. Doesn't mean she thought it was hot or anything of that nature, but she was astute. And I was like, hell yeah. But then we just, I mean, we had a good time, like, talking to each other and stuff. And then we, you know, long story short, there was an incident where there was a guy, Dylan. Just go back to the episode. If you look up Germany trip 2018 on the podcast, like, I'll get more into it. Well, there was a guy, American guy, Dylan, that ended up snorting what he thought was possibly cocaine. It turned out to be like a candy. And he was really drunk, and big MAGA guy from New York. A bit of an oxymoron, but he ended up spitting on a German guy, and we had to leave. Hofbräuhaus, das Original location. And I walked Alex back to her hotel room, and yeah, I totally fucked up, man. I should have dropped everything I was doing and, like, hung out with her the next day. I mean, it didn't seem like I was getting the invite to go up to her room. But I feel like I should have at least just, like, hung out with the next day, you know, kind of contact info. Fuck. I'm such an idiot. Anyway. But I had a good time regardless. And I did have a good time on the tour the next day and everything, but I had a little bit of a fucking hangover. yeah, like, John and I are going to have to, we're going to have to go back to Hofbräuhaus, das Original, and, if Alex is there this time, that would be, I mean, the odds on that are zero, right? I highly doubt that'll happen. But it seemed fairly low that the odds that we'd be on the same tour group. I highly doubt that all of a sudden she's back in Oktoberfest and hanging out the same time that I do it. But if that happens, like, I mean, I'm gonna at least have to get some contact info. Like, this is weird that we keep meeting up like this. Again, highly unlikely, but I'm gonna see, like, millions of people going to Oktoberfest. I mean, there's an insane amount of people go to Oktoberfest. But that being said, I'm gonna stop talking about how much of an idiot I am for at least a few minutes. And let's get into some facts about Oktoberfest. München, as the locals call it. This is off Oktoberfest.de. It says, Oktoberfest records and peculiarities. Beer records, first roller coaster, the biggest beer tent, incredible Oktoberfest facts. Oktoberfest has been taking place for over 200 years. Quite a few records have been set over that span of time. The most visitors came in 1985, the most beer was drunk in 1910, and the most famous custom didn't come into being until 1950. So was that the dirndls and the lederhosen? Or the cookies? What are we talking about? Says, beer record Oktoberfest never has more been drank than in 2011. I feel like we can change that. We can change that, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen, we can change that. In 2011, more beer was drunk at the Oktoberfest than ever before, and ever before. A whole 79,225 hectoliters of beer were served. That's almost 8 million liters. Okay, Jesus, 8 million fucking liters. I didn't know what a hectoliter was, but thanks for clarifying this. 8 million fucking liters of beer. To clarify, if you're unfamiliar with beer, Oktoberfest in München, in Munich, you drink a full liter of beer. It is a full liter. I don't think at the Oktoberfest celebration you can get like a half liter. At certain restaurants, restaurants and beer halls around Munich, you do have the option of getting a half a liter. But, I mean, you're drinking fucking full liters of beer. They're not fucking around. You're getting drunk. So fucking 8 million liters in one Oktoberfest. One Oktoberfest. It goes on for like 17 or 18 days. That's an insane amount of beer in less than a month. Sad record, the longest hiatus from 1939 to 1948. Huh, I wonder what happened there. What was that? Oh, World War II. For 10 years, there was no Oktoberfest. The culprit was the Second World War as a substitute and also as a distraction for the citizens of Munich. In the post-war period, the smaller Herbstfest was organized at the end of the 40s. Also in 1919 and 1920, only a small Herbstfest had been celebrated due to the First World War. In 1949, a regular Wiesn was held again, which is also another term for Oktoberfest. Most recently, the Oktoberfest had to be canceled in 2020 and 2021 due to Corona. They should probably put virus in there. It's not like we had some Corona beers sneak in. In its history, the Oktoberfest has been canceled a total of 26 times. As of right now, it's not canceled. You know, now I'm like, oh, fuck. Hopefully there's not another pandemic. I'm going to be so pissed. Record number of visitors in 2023. So, I mean, that was fairly recently. I mean, just a little over 2 years ago now. Around 7.2 million people visited the 18 XXL Wiesn in mostly late summer weather. 7.2 million people. Fuck me. There's only like a little over a million people, I think, that live in Munich. Which is, I mean, that's a large city. Very large city. But good Lord, man. 18 days, 7.2 million people. Says the sharpest shooter on Wiesn. Every year from 1960 to 1983, Wiesn visitor Carl Sorg portrayed himself shooting photos with his rifle in his hand. How? If a hit is made in the middle of the target, a photo of the shooter is taken at this shooting gallery. Anyway. Ozapft is old tradition or modern custom. The tapping example here. Opening the first beer barrel of Oktoberfest. Okay. Barrel of Oktoberfest, we were there for that, is a tradition, albeit a rather young one. It started in 1950. Then Mayor Thomas Wimmer called the famous words, Ozapft is, strike it lucky, is what that means, for the first time. Since then, each of his successors has probably had more respect for the tapping than for Election Day, because the reputation of the mayor depends on the number of strokes required. It took former incumbent Christian Ude 7 blows on his first time, much to the amusement of some of his colleagues at City Hall, but Ude practiced diligently, learned the right technique, and set a new record with only 2 strokes. Successor Dieter Ritter, Dieter Ritter may have copied some of his predecessor's technique. He only needed 4 strokes at his premiere and has now landed at 2. Man, Dieter, hats off. Prost to you, good man. Well, I don't know. He could be a fucking Nazi for all I know. I don't want to... Don't say that about a German you don't know. Anyway, probably not a Nazi. Let's see. The biggest tent that ever stood at Oktoberfest, the largest beer tent of all time, was the Brausel tent. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Fuck. Brausel? from 1913, which, with its 5,500 square meters, offered space for around 12,000 guests. Today, the Hofbräu Festhalle is the tent with the largest capacity at about 10,000 seats. Let's see here. You know what? Okay, there's just a couple more facts to go over here. Well, go over there. Clever Dogs on the Wiesn. In the year 1880, a showman with a trained family of dogs applied to perform at Oktoberfest. Allegedly, the Astrakhan Spitz dogs were not only able to play cards and dance, but also recognized all the regents of Europe in photographs. I don't know if I believe that. The first roller coaster in Munich, 1908, Carl Gabriel presented Germany's first roller coaster in the Munich Exhibition Park. The following year, Max Stebeck presented the first transportable figure eight coaster at Oktoberfest. Yeah, yeah. Still fit after 10 beers. That's 10 liters of beer. A case from the year 1901 still amazes today. Messrs. I and M. Hager were awarded a certificate for drinking 10 beers in the Lang beer stand. Not worth emulating. Yeah, I wouldn't. I am not drinking 10 beers in a day. Oh, fuck that. 10 liters of beer. No, I'm dead if I do that. Oh, shit. Advertising with beer drinking children. Old Oktoberfest postcards were also used to depict children drinking beer. Not only the famous Münchner Kindle, but also other toddlers. By the way, the former was male until the 1930s when it became a girl. Münchner Kindle. Help, we're out of beer. One evening, the guests at the Hofbräu Zelt are particularly thirsty, and the landlord is slowly running out of beer. In his distress, he asks the neighboring landlord for help. And so it happens that Pauliner beer is served in the Hofbräu Zelt for a few hours. That's funny. That's fucking funny. Oh, the Wiesn in the dictionary. The word Wiesn is officially included in the dictionary following a large-scale initiative by Munich radio station Gong 96.3, supported by Minister President Horst Seehofer and Lord Mayor Dieter Rita. Yeah, Dieter Rita and his two strokes. The synonym for Oktoberfest has made it into the digital version of the dictionary and will also be included in the 28th edition of the printed version in 2020. At the latest now, it is officially clear Wiesn and not Wiesn. Are we Wiesn? Oh, well, Wiesn with a no apostrophe and not the W-I-E-S apostrophe N. Is it Wiesn or Wiesn? I think that's Wiesn. Anyway, Ingenious Lighting. The electrical engineering company J. Einstein & C. installs the lamps in the tents in 1896. Albert, the owner's son, screws light bulbs into the sky of the Schuttenhammer tent as a temporary job. Although the legend of Albert Einstein as an Oktoberfest electrician cannot really be proven or placed in time, the myth persists, but it's also a great story. So I guess Albert was their son. So he could have helped out. It's not proven. But Albert Einstein, he could have been there at one point. Screwing in light bulbs. Can't prove or deny. Anyway, what I wanted to get to, some crazy stories. I went to Reddit for some stories. I didn't like pre-read these stories. But the subreddit here is, does anyone have any good Oktoberfest stories? I've never been to Oktoberfest, but I've always wondered what it would be like. Has it been an interesting experience for anyone? This is from 13 years ago, Malee Island. Malee Island. one person puts, I went to Oktoberfest in 2010, and boy, was it an experience. First of all, don't pregame Oktoberfest. Not a problem. Don't plan on doing that. I'm old enough to be smart enough to not do that. The majority of my friends were hammered by 3 p.m. because we started drinking around 10 a.m. This was opening day, and they don't serve beer until after the ceremonial keg tapping at noon. Unfortunately for us, we were unable to get into the Schattenhammer. I was 3 feet from the door before they closed it for capacity. We arrived at the tent around 6 a.m. Whew. 6 a.m. Damn. My friends got so drunk that they ditched me. One tried to wander home and went the wrong direction. It wasn't until he crossed a river that he realized that he was going the wrong way. I specifically got us a hotel two blocks away to make it easy for everyone. He ended up walking 2 miles. My other buddy was walking back and went down to tie his shoe and apparently passed out. He woke up to a cop kicking him to make sure he was okay. I was lucky and some other guys at the table were from the U.S. Air Force, so I hung out with them for the rest of the evening until going back to my hotel around 7 p.m. to find all my friends passed out. Day two, we got to the Weinzer Fandel right when it opened, and I stayed all day. My buddies made it until about 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We invited a bunch of foreigners to our table. We had people from Italy, Germany, France, Brazil, and Belarus partying with us. The Winzerer Fandel was my favorite tent on the grounds and one of the biggest. The band was a ton of fun and the crowd was a blast. My friends ditched me again that night and I was the only one left at my table. My table was soon overrun with Germans who just barely spoke English, but they were cool and I stayed with them. The language of beer was enough for us, as well as the American classics Sweet Caroline, Country Roads, and others that were played that night. Luckily for me, a couple of friends came back an hour or so later. And we closed the tent. Crazy things I saw at Oktoberfest include a dude doing coke off his girlfriend's boob and a guy singing and dancing, then completely passing out and falling straight back on a table. The paramedics were called in and the small area where the incident happened was cleared out, but the party kept going on. Needless to say, I need to go back and I'm planning on it in 2013. Did he? One piece of advice, if you are not a big drinker, then you should really practice for Oktoberfest. My friends laughed at me when I was drinking 3 to 6 beers a night in the month leading to Oktoberfest. Don't forget, you are being served beer by the leader in the tents. If you want more advice on attending, check out this page. Was really the only story in there? I thought there'd be more stories, you fuckers. Here's a Vice News from 2019. What do they got? It says, I thought Oktoberfest would suck, but then I remembered I'm a trash person. By Manisha Krishnan says, as I stood on an empty street corner in Munich, rain soaking my traditional Bavarian dress, the dirndl, and having just been ghosted by a man I'd met at a place called Vomit Mountain, I was left with two options. Yes, Vomit Mountain. I could feel ashamed of poor decisions that led me here and call it a night. I had trusted this stranger who convinced me to hang out at this place in the middle of nowhere, only to later admit that it wasn't even his house before he ran away into the night where I could pay the 30 euro Uber ride and head to the club. I chose the club, and doing so, I think I embraced the true spirit of Oktoberfest. Though I didn't know too much about the annual 16-day event. Apparently, it's 18 days. I guess it's depend. It can vary, maybe. I don't know. A massive beer festival and carnival that takes place in Munich. Things I didn't know didn't exactly thrill me. Especially at age 32, lots of straight, drunk, mostly white dudes, young people being sloppy, massive crowds, long lines, overpriced food and drinks, costumes. Nonetheless, as my two-month friendship in Germany came to a close, I pitched my editors on sending me to Oktoberfest. I thought it had potential to be a funny, fish-out-of-water story, not unlike the time I attended a Nickelback concert or joined a psychedelic commune. Plus, I was curious to see a more conservative part of the country, having been mostly living in Berlin bubble of beautiful weirdos. The Vice Germany editors based in Berlin were happy to send me, though they didn't exactly give ringing endorsements. I avoid it with all the strength of my body, one said. Another noted, I absolutely hate it. Before I went, I had to prep. Dirndl shopping. According to the city of Munich, Oktoberfest started as a wedding celebration between Crown Prince and later King Ludwig and Princess Teresa of Saxony, Hildburghausen, on October 12th, 1810. I'm getting a little cotton mouth, a little hard to speak. It repeated the next year, and by 1896, the first beer tents and halls debuted. Today, Oktoberfest, locally called the Wiesn, is the biggest beer festival in the world, with more than 7 million people in attendance each year. Munich's population is about 1.5 million. There are 14 big tents run by 6 breweries, which can seat a total of more than 100,000 guests. You need a seat to order beer. Visitors typically wear traditional clothing, which means lederhosen, knee-length brown leather shorts for men, and dresses called dirndls for women, which are paired with a blouse and an apron. My first task was to get a dirndl. When I showed up at a shop that specialized in dirndls, one of the sales associates took one look at me and advised me that the sale racks were outside. What a cunt. Ouch, my very own pretty woman moment, except she was right. The higher end dirndls there cost up to 600 euros or $880. Even the discount ones at around 130 euros, 190, were out of my price range. Nonetheless, I tried several of them on. because they're corseted on top, dirndls can be pretty flattering. They suck your tummy in and push your boobs out. My favorite selection, a blue number, made me look like a brown Snow White. But I wasn't willing to spend the equivalent of my monthly rent in Berlin on a one-time thing, so I headed to some fast fashion shops after trying on some truly hideous dirndls, including one that seemed to be made from a pink garbage bag. I settled on a maroon dirndl that set me back $90. I paired it with my own long-sleeve blouse to make it extra dowdy. When I sent my boyfriend a photo, he said it made me look like I had a hard day of labor ahead of me. arrival and warnings. Before heading to the grounds, I got some advice from a couple of locals. One who wasn't a fan of Oktoberfest described it as fucked up, crazy, and sometimes a little bit beautiful. Yeah, this is why I'm like, we should probably only do one day, but who knows? I mean, it could be like the greatest day. It could be a total shit show. Anyway, if you're a man, watch out for people who want to punch you for no reason. If you're a woman, watch out for people who want to touch you and your body. He warned me, it's getting worse in the evening and worse for women who wear dirndl with big cleavages. He let me know that if you tie the knot of your apron to the left, it means you're single, whereas the right means you're taken. She tied hers in the middle. What the fuck does that mean? you can tell... Says he also told me to watch out for Kotzhügel, Vomit Mountain, a slope on the west side of the grounds where people vomit and fuck. I felt myself bracing as I saw big groups of young men in their lederhosen. There were distinct spring break frat party, what I imagine St. Patrick's Day in hell is like vibes. After an embarrassing subway ride on which surprisingly few people were in costume, I grabbed a road beer for courage. I passed by some Volkswagen police vans blasting music, a man making his own techno beats in a horse mask, and a guy dressed up as Chucky, the killer doll from Child's Play. Well, there's a picture of Chucky. Yeah. Later, I passed by a white guy who was some black woman and screamed, "Black girls!" My stomach tightened. What the fuck? Okay, let me read that. Later, I passed by a white guy who saw some black women and screamed, "Black girls!" That is a little fucking weird. Yeah, black girls, yeah! It's fucking weird. The homeland of the Nazis. Not a good thing to hear me yelling out. Yeah, that's making friends. First up was $12 Ferris wheel ride to get an overview of the grounds. In line, I quickly made friends with a group of young people. One of them, a Brit, knocked backwards into me, screaming, "My balls!" because his friends had kicked him in the nuts. Once we got to the top, the drunk Brit with the sore testicles began yelling, "Guten Tag!" in a German accent and calling the friend who had kicked him a fucking alcoholic four-eyed prick. I was relieved that I hadn't worn my glasses. From the top, I could see the massive white beer tents, which looked more like warehouses and various rides lit up with neon lights. A steady stream of people walking along the wide path in the middle, but I wanted off the ride. I needed to get drunker if I was going to survive. Oh man, this article's, I think a, shit, yeah, this is a really long article. I recommend it though. I was like, holy fuck, yeah, it's a long article. I can't read all of this. It's, yeah, basically, it could get bad. There could be, hopefully there's no violence. I hope I don't get punched. I don't think I have a punchable face. I mean, that says like, "Punch me, please." I think I can be kind of standoffish, you know, that, I have kind of a resting bitch face. I have a little bit of that kind of like a side, like, oh, and you know, I got the guns now of a steel worker. Is that going to be, that could always, you know, more muscular guys tend to get more people wanting to fight him. Although maybe it's just the right amount to be like, "Oh, don't fuck with that guy." I don't know. Drunk people. I've never managed to get into a fight when alcohol is involved anywhere else. I mean, I have some close calls. I feel like I'll be safe. John, I can see John maybe doing something that might, we might have to get the fuck out of Dodge. We might have to be like, we got to get back to America. Stat. it might be a thing. We'll be like, we need to leave like we're Jews in 1940. We need to get the fuck out of Dodge. The fuck out of here. But hey, I can run fast. I can still run fast. I can hold my own. I got to lose like 15 pounds. I want to lose like 10 to 15 pounds before going. I feel like we need to start getting more used to, as we get closer in time, start hitting up some German beer, get myself back accustomed to drinking said beer and whatnot. Get that body ready. Nice, lean, mean, fighting machine, you know what I'm saying? Before I put on my lederhosen and look all hot for a bunch of drunk people. Hopefully I'm just not on the puke hill the whole time, you know? Be like, ugh. In which case, we're definitely just doing one day at Oktoberfest. I feel like that maybe 2 days at Oktoberfest. I feel like, ugh. Well, I don't know. We'll see, though. We'll see. It could end up being like this crazy night. I know how drink nights going out to any event and just like drinking. When you really want it to happen, a lot of times like, oh, yeah, this is shit. When you don't expect anything, that's when like the interesting shit happens. I feel like going to Oktoberfest probably won't be the best part of the trip. It'll probably be maybe a food and beer tour or doing some other tour around town or around the city, maybe going to Salzburg. Something's going to happen that's going to be pretty cool on this trip. We're going to have a good time. But I don't know. Oktoberfest, I feel like that's going to be a hit or miss. It could be like, why the fuck did we do this part of it? Although I'm going to love having Lederhosen. I mean, and, you know, there's Oktoberfest events that happen here, and you know, I could whip out the Lederhosen again. I could do it. Yeah, would go to Oktoberfest in Hermann. Get your journals out, ladies. I got my Lederhosen. Or I could just get a dirndl and just wear that. No, I'm not wearing a dirndl. I don't have the cleavage for that. Don't think I'd pull that off. They're long enough skirts, though. I could hide my hairy legs. But the cleavage is a problem. And I got a little bit of hair out top. I'd have to, like, wax. Be a thing. I was hoping to get a hotel room with, like, separated beds. But we got a double bed that they're kind of two beds, but also together. I mean, I don't think we're going to have... I don't move around much when I sleep. I don't think I'm going to end up having to, like, sleep on top of John. So, That's a plus. If one of us should end up bringing a lady back or what have you, you know, I feel like I'll have no problems. Like, you know, I can leave for a little while. I can survive just walking around, venturing around. Das ist sehr gut, yeah? But yeah, this is that's basically what we're in for. We're in for... I looked at possibly some other things. I mean, I got a little bit of time before we go. I looked at some places to like travel to. I wanted to see like how long the train ride, because I've never been to really anywhere else in Germany other than Bavaria, which is the biggest state in Germany. But you know, there's quite a few states in Germany. I would love to go to Berlin at some point. So I looked up, it's a 4-hour train ride. I don't think we're going to do that, because that's 8 hours out of a day. Just traveling, 8 hours. Well, I mean, there's 24 hours in a day, and we could still have fun in like a day. We'd want to at least spend the night. Yeah, like that seems like a no-go. It seems like a no-go. There's plenty of other places we can go to. Again, I mean, I'll have some places in mind and things to do. I'm just really going to imagine the direction in which we take it is going to see once that second day is over and how we feel about doing what we want to do after Oktoberfest. It's weird because traveling by myself, I know exactly what I like, what I want to do, what I'll find fun. So in previous trips, like, I just planned out all the shit I wanted to do. Not a big deal. But when there's another person involved, like, oh, this may not fly. He may not have fun. I don't know about this. We are not necessarily fans of the same shit. So, well, you know, we shall see. I'm thinking he probably won't want to do a tour of a concentration camp, is what I'm saying. I, on the other hand, you know, I wouldn't mind going to Poland at some point and seeing Auschwitz. You know, I might, while I'm there, also want to go take another World War II history tour. I mean, there's all kinds of history involved in Munich alone. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, we're definitely, I know that at some point we're going to go to the Alps. Whether that's a tour of the Eagle's Nest or just a tour in the mountains. I feel like he may not enjoy hiking much. So we got to, we'll have to plan it a little bit. But for the most part, I mean, I know what's going to happen. I'm looking forward to being a stranger in a strange land again, even though I'm not going solo. There's definitely, I mean, it's, in a lot of ways, it's just a lot easier to go by yourself. Because again, I mean, you can just, only person you have to consider is yourself. Like, you know what you can take, and like, as far as being like, oh, do I want to have like a 4-hour layover in this city? Which, speaking of layovers, I'm kind of excited. We're flying Air Canada. I wasn't able to pick my seats, unfortunately. Apparently you can pay more money and then like be able to choose the seats that way, but like, already paying enough money. I don't feel like I need to choose that shit. Anyway, which, a long flight like that, it can get, like, it's close to an 8-hour flight, the longest flight we've got. So, I mean, it can be a bit rough. There's some good entertainment usually on those overseas flights, though. There's some good entertainment. You can keep your mind off the fact that planes keep fucking getting accidents. But anyway, we're flying into Ontario, Canada. On the way there, I think there's only one stop on the way there. On the way back, there's two stops. Well, we go to Ontario, Canada, and then on, straight from there on to Munich. The way back, or no, there might be a friend. Shit. I'm going to have to look it up. There might be two stops on the way there, too. I don't know. I should remember this. I just booked the damn thing. Although I didn't look at, wasn't paying that much attention to the layovers, just the amount of time. Okay. Yeah, it looks like the first trip, yeah, just Ontario, Canada on the way there is the only stop. The way back, I believe there's two. Yeah, on the way back, you go from Germany, then into Austria, Vienna. There's an hour and a half layover in Vienna. Not ridiculous. Then from there, ooh, a 9-hour and 20 flight to back to Ontario. There was a flight I could have chose where we had landed in France. I thought that would have been cool. I don't know, Lloyd. I hear the French are assholes. Anyway, dumb and dumber. But yeah, we got two stops on the way back. Just one the way there. Anyway, yeah, pretty excited. Pretty excited about that. Hopefully we get some good movies on the plane. I imagine there will be. There's usually good entertainment. Flying Air Canada, though. Canadian. I mean, I have a history with Canadian women. I mean, there's Alex. There was the woman, Canadian woman I met in Ireland. that I don't remember the name. It was so many years ago, unfortunately, and I totally blew her off unintentionally. I felt like a dick. I'm a dipshit. That's what it comes down to. That's a whole other story. I'm pretty sure she was into me, though. Like, Alex, I felt like I might have been in the friend zone. The Canadian girl from the first Ireland trip I did, I am pretty sure that had I played my cards right, we could have hooked up that night. I'm pretty confident on that one. But again, I was a dipshit. I blew her off when we got to the Cliffs of Moher because we all went to the bathroom, and then I just took one look at the cliffs and fucking bolted, man. I was so excited about the cliffs, like a fucking kid in a candy store, and just like, oh, and then I didn't know how to fucking, yeah. Like, we were vibing, and yeah, I'm a total dick, and I don't even remember her name at this point. I doubt she would pick up on this podcast, but I am sorry about that because I was into her too. I was just a fucking idiot. The Guinness was in my system and I was just like, oh, cliffs. Oh, I'm such a dick. On that note, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.